Jesus said, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places." Please be seated. The Reverend Jackson Harville Randolph Ray, the third rector of the Church of the Transfiguration, was born on June 11, 1886, in Madison County, Mississippi. He was the son of a Confederate veteran. Randolph Ray, as he was generally known, attended Emory and Henry College, and graduated from that college in the year 1905 with a Bachelor of Arts degree. He then attended Columbia University Law School, but did not complete the degree as he decided that the law was not to be his vocation. But he retained an interest in religion and in the church, and this encouraged and animated him to consider a call to the priesthood. In the autumn of 1908, he enrolled at the General Theological Seminary and was graduated from that institution in 1911. He was ordained deacon in June of 1911, and ordained priest on Trinity Sunday, 1912, by Bishop David Greer of the Diocese of New York. He served in various parishes and was dean of St. Matthew's Cathedral in Dallas, Texas, immediately before becoming rector of the Church of the Transfiguration. He arrived at our parish in the spring of 1923, 100 years ago, to serve as vicar under the second Dr. Houghton, who was very unwell. But Dr. Houghton died a week after Father Ray's arrival, and the latter was then elected rector by the vestry. Father Ray was instituted as rector of the Church of the Transfiguration on May 31st, 1923, by Bishop William Maddy of the Diocese of New York. In the year 1925, the new rector received an honorary Doctor of Divinity degree from Sewanee, the University of the South, and was thereafter known as Dr. Randolph Ray, or simply Dr. Ray. Dr. Randolph Ray was rector of the Church of the Transfiguration from 1923 to 1958. A total of 35 years. His rectorate was characterized by a focus on social activism and an engagement with a larger society. Although his statements in the Sunday bulletins reflected Orthodox theology, Dr. Ray's sermons had a practical and pastoral approach and were informed by a concern for the challenges and difficulties affecting people in the parish and by extension those in the larger society. Under Dr. Ray's guidance, social and economic issues were discussed from the pulpit, and the rector himself had a decidedly liberal perspective on these matters, and his sermons reflected this concern. Dr. Ray was concerned not only with the content and focus of his sermons, but also consistent with the quality and delivery of things. To this end, he engaged the actor Silk Den Greek to provide him with instruction and training in diction and presentation. According to the New York Times, Dr. Ray wanted to imbue his sermons and services with dramatic impact. The focus of these sermons was on ethical and topical matters, and an examination of his statements indicates that they were insightful and relevant to the questions and concerns of the day. For example, in the year 1927, he condemned censorship as a suppression of liberty, and he said the following, quote, "Let us support the organization of societies for the putting forth of good things instead of the organization of societies for the suppression of vice." The difficult and ominous political situation of the 1920s and the 1930s informed and influenced the themes of Dr. Ray's sermons. He acknowledged the needs and the aspirations of young people and advised his congregation to understand and to address their problems. This concern was linked to his emphasis on helping others, which he understood to be in a symbiotic relationship with an individual's own self-examination and self-improvement. In the year 1929, he advised the people of Transfiguration the following. If we cultivate kindliness and understanding, we will see what others have accomplished. He thereby emphasized the subject of the understanding of the possibilities of oneself in one's dealing with other people. Dr. Ray's sermons thus possess a pragmatism and a utilitarianism which informed the daily life of the parishioner and allowed him or her to make judicious and appropriate judgments about the course of life and the challenges therein. He underscored the experiential element of religion, and on Trinity Sunday, 1930, Dr. Ray preached that the doctrine of the Trinity underscored the infinity of God and His oneness, of which all people were a part. He counseled the congregation, quote, "Every experience of life opens the door of heaven to us. Every experience is valuable because it relates us to the infinite." As he added, "We have the power of the infinite as our own." Dr. Ray wanted to summon the individual believer back to a realization of what he or she truly is. That is a living soul, the living image of God. And the only way this can be done is through the realization of the divine idea within him. The realization that spirit is life, power, and supremacy. In some ways, His counsel was a form of self-empowerment. It self-based on Christian spirituality and moral insight. In 1930, Dr. Ray preached, "All humanity is really the body of God, and the inner life is His invisible spirit." Dr. Ray employed analogies and images to elucidate Christian teachings on the purpose and meaning of life, as well as its relevance to concerns affecting the larger society. He emphasized the concept and the imagery of light as how it overcomes darkness and shadows. In 1927, he said, "Light is a great quality of light. God is light, not said or his, but is light." He applied this insight to the challenges and insecurities of the human condition. He said, "We suffer from a complex about darkness, about trouble, about disaster. We forget that there is no darkness, but has its light." Dr. Randolph Ray often preached about interpersonal relationships and stated that their foundation was the individual's knowledge of and awareness of his or her own self. This self-knowledge was itself linked to an apprehension of one's place in the created order and the relation of oneself to the cosmos. He advised parishioners about the importance of service to others. He said, "The person who serves others derives true satisfaction from life." Dr. Ray applied these theological and ethical principles to social outreach and mission in New York City. Directors sought to ameliorate the problems and the dislocations characteristic of urban living and to address the needs of individuals in what was often an impersonal society. To this end, his mission was both corporate and individual. In 1923, a century ago, his first year as rector of our parish, he founded the Episcopal Actors Guild, which sought to address both the temporal and the spiritual needs of members of the acting community. Dr. Ray's generous and ecumenical spirit was evident in his opening membership in the Guild to both Anglicans and non-Anglicans alike. There was no credo test. During the Great Depression of the 1930s, the Church of the Transfiguration initiated a breadline for the unemployed. In early 1930, the parish provided up to 1,000 meal tickets per day. Dr. Ray called for an examination of those factors and policies which contributed to this disturbing and appalling situation. He pointed to the issues of supply and demand, great waste and great need, overabundance and growing want. Dr. Ray was also concerned with the art and the decoration of the church building. And during this record, there were significant embellishments to the appointments of the church. In 1926, the Holy Family Chapel was renovated for the installation of the bride's altar, which was surmounted by a laryngeal in the form of a triptych, depicting the betrothal of the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph. There is a painting, this is a painting on wood. In the year 1927, the Madonna of the Garden was erected in our garden. By early 1928, two open screens were placed in the narthex, and they hold statues of various saints. Particularly noteworthy are those of St. Anne and St. Joachim. In the year 1931, the beautiful polychrome statues of the four archangels were placed at the entrance to the St. Joseph of Arimathea Chapel. In 1932, a statue of the Virgin Mary and Child was placed at the end of the north of the transept. In addition, various stained glass windows were installed, including the flight into Egypt and the Golden Rule windows. Dr. Randolph Ray retired as rector in June 1958, and at that same time, the Episcopal Actors Guild hosted a luncheon for him at the church. It was hosted by the actors Peggy Wood and Tallulah Bankhead, Tallulah Bankhead being a second or third cousin of Dr. Ray. She once said of herself that she was Dr. Ray's favorite sinner. Dr. Randolph Ray retired to Connecticut and died there on June 1, 1963, shortly before his 77th birthday. The record of Dr. Randolph Ray was multifaceted, but if we were to select a theme which informed and animated the vocation of Dr. Ray, it would be his focus on the pragmatic, the ethical, and social consequences of the Christian revelation. He counseled that the practicing Christian fulfilled his or her vocation in a concern for others, an empathetic approach to living. On Foundation Day, 1929, Dr. Ray counseled, "The glory of God is found in the full expression of ourselves." Don't be so much pointing out theories in religion and public life, but strive to understand each other. In 1936, he said, "The vocation to which all of us are called is the unity of the spiritual and the material in the act of living. Let the light shine through you, so that God, through you, may bless the world." In today's gospel, we heard Jesus saying, "In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places." Dr. Randolph Ray built a dwelling place here, indeed, a dwelling place of faith, hope, and charity. Amen.